Texas Business Minds, a presentation of the Business Journals of Texas. Brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas. Energy resources are top of mind as the heat cranks up statewide. In this download, San Antonio Business Journal Editor-in-Chief Ed Arnold delivers a timely conversation with Rudy Garza, CEO of CPS Energy, the nation's largest community-owned electric and natural gas utility.
It is an immense pleasure to be joined here today by Rudy Garza, the CEO of CPS Energy, the nation's largest municipally owned utility company. Always worth saying that. Never hurts to say that, Rudy. But it is a real pleasure to have you with us here today. Everything that you guys do at CPS Energy touches our readers. So there's never a bad time to check in with you guys at CPS. So, Rudy, welcome to the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Ed. I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you today, and I look forward to the conversation.
Not at all, man. Anytime you want to chat, I'm here to listen. So for our listeners around the state that may not know you, I joke from time to time. I think everyone in San Antonio probably knows you. But for those listeners that might be outside of market, you just introduce yourself a little bit. Tell us about your background.
Sure. Well, I originally from Corpus Christi, Texas. So I was born and raised down there. I went to UT, got a double E degree from Texas, and went to work in the private sector. Back then, it was TXU up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I've been in the electric and gas business now for almost 30 years, both the public and the private sectors. But my career led me to San Antonio, and I've been here now for 12 years. I've served in a number of capacities here in at CPS Energy. I've been the VP of External Relations, dealing on the policy side for a number of years. I was the Senior Vice President of Distribution Operations, which is what my background is in technically. I'm a distribution guy. And then I was Chief Customer Officer for a bit, and then Winter Storm Uri hit and changed the world on us. And I was asked to step in as interim CEO about 2.5 years ago. And it'll actually be 2 years in August that I'll be in the permanent role. So I've been here now 12 years at CPS Energy. San Antonio's been very good to me. I'm blessed to work with one of the premier utility companies in the nation. We've got great people, and we've got great customers and a growing market and all the ingredients for success here in San Antonio.
Well, I'm looking forward to celebrating that 2-year anniversary with you this summer. Well done. Well done, sir. I'm looking forward to that. But speaking of Corpus, speaking of your hometown, Rudy and CPS Energy broke a little bit of news yesterday. They bought two new gas plants, one in Corpus Christi, Rudy's hometown, and then another in Laredo. Is that right?
Yeah, Talen is really kind of what we call a merchant generator in the ERCOT market. They went through a bankruptcy proceeding and came out of it in a restructuring program with their bank. They had assets for sale. We bought all of the assets they had remaining in the ERCOT market. It's actually two different plant locations in Corpus, an Oasis Bay plant, which I grew up. It's right on the refinery row. I grew up about 1.5 miles from that plant because my grandfather worked in the refineries back in the day. And then Barney Davis over on the coastal side of town. And then we also bought some very large peaking units down in Laredo. And for us, beginning of last year, our board approved a generation plan that really set us on the course of focusing on retiring some of our older gas steam units that are old and inefficient and need to go, quite frankly, and replace that with a host of technologies. We've got 700 megawatts that we've signed of new solar. We've done a 50 megawatt battery storage project. We've got another 500 megawatts of battery storage that we're working on that we should be announcing here hopefully this year. We've contracted for 500 megawatts of gas capacity in Guadalupe County with the Calpine plant. And then we've been evaluating whether to build a new plant or purchase assets in the market. We were invited to participate in the auction of these assets by the bank that was running that process. And thankfully, we came out ahead. And I will tell you, this takes our generation plan execution. This escalates it by 5 to 10 years minimum. 1,710 megawatts is huge. It pretty much takes care of all the capacity that we're going to be retiring in the coming years between now and 2030, and really gets us ahead of the growth curve in San Antonio. So we're really getting double the capacity we were expecting to have to build at about half of the price. So all in all, Ed, this is a really great story for our community, for our customers. And it's also a great story for Corpus Christi and Laredo, because right. we're going to be investing in these assets. We're going to utilize them in a much more reliable and efficient way. And we believe that's going to be good for the jobs that are represented. It's about 65 jobs that we're going to be bringing in as part of the CPS Energy family. So we're excited. Really, it was a great opportunity, and I couldn't be prouder of the team for executing on it.
I mean, it sounds like you guys threaded the needle just right there. Like, this was assets that came from a bankruptcy, so you're able to get a little of a discount there, I'm sure. And it's a heck of a lot cheaper than having to build these things from scratch, I would imagine. And I assume these plants are newer. How old are they? What's the timeline on those?
These are about a third end of their life, so they've got another 25-30 years of life on the back end of it. And what that does, it buys us time. The riskiest element of the market right now is making a $1 billion investment in a 50-year asset, really not knowing exactly where the market is going to turn here or there. And so having assets that give us, you know, I always get asked by the business community in San Antonio, Rudy, do we have enough power for the next 25 years? Well, the answer has been no. You know, we're kind of just keeping up. And now we've gotten ahead of it. And I think that is a really responsible thing for us to do as a publicly owned utility.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, that's one of the things I think is always worth bringing back in. You guys at CPS have been really balancing some very, very tough market forces, right? You've got a booming population. So the demand is, you're not getting a single breath in the amount of demand that we are, as your customers, are bringing to you. There's more people here every single year. And then on top of that, CPS has really set a very aggressive, cleaner energy goals for itself over the years. It's one of the things that was very striking to me when I first moved to this community, was how aggressive some of those goals have been. CPS was very, very aggressive in ramping up their solar programs and being active in doing the solar plans and solar programs. So this goes right in line with that. It is really exciting to hear you feel like you're starting to get some cushion with this transaction, because I know that you guys have just been trying to stay just in front of the population growth and the demand for these last several years. It sounds great that you feel like you've got a cushion there a little bit that you can build on.
Well, we have to keep an eye on reliability while maintaining affordability for San Antonio, Ed. You know, we've had a couple of rate increases over the last 2 years. I may be the first CEO who's gotten back-to-back rate increases like that since maybe we were building the nuclear units, you know, back in the day. It's not something that I necessarily brag about. I wish I didn't need the rate increases, quite frankly. But getting that support has allowed us the flexibility to go out and make some strategic investments, you know, in the long-term view of our business. And so, again, I'm hoping that when the community looks at how we put their resources to use, they'll feel really good about the fact that we got an eye on reliability, but we're still the lowest rate in the state of Texas for our residential customers. I think that's a great story.
Yeah, no question. No question. I mean, look, you know, rate increases are going to happen. No one really wants to have to do it, but sometimes they just got to happen. It's the nature of being in a city. And also, the cost of everything has gone up, and right along with it, power has gone right there with it. And look, if we're going to be the city that we want to be, with thriving manufacturing positions coming, new headquarters that we're trying to draw all the time, that puts more and more demand on you and what your staff does there. So it's really important for you all to help keep a nice, diverse and growing portfolio of supply there. That's a really, really important element for you all. And it's something that this is just a great piece of it. So you guys got participated in this from the bank. Did it feel like that there was a heavy competition for these assets? Did you feel like you were in the catbird seat when you got there?
No, not really. You know, we were competing primarily against private sector entities that just tend to be a little more nimble and have more flexibility than we do. But again, we modeled our offer as conservative as we possibly could. Quite frankly, our modeling process really was focused on trying to discourage making this investment, to ensure we weren't missing something. And so when we made our bid, I'm a believer, and I come from the private sector. So, you know, when we're doing a deal with someone, I want it to be a win-win. I want us to get a good deal, but the assets have value. So we're going to make a fair bid anytime we're in a process like this. And I thought at the end of the day, that strategy paid out, and it creates an immediately positive NPV, positive net present value in this deal for our community. By the tune of about $500 million is what the net benefit is to our community, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, no, couldn't agree more. Let's kick it a little bit ahead. Like, we're thinking about a very, very hot summer. It's about to be 82. So I know you guys are getting ramped up and thinking about, you know, getting prepared for those peak seasons as they come. How is the state of the grid in general? How's the state of CPS in, as we're like seeing that hot summer in the future?
Well, I think the next few summers are going to be fairly consistent to what we saw last summer. I don't know that it'll necessarily be as hot. But I think from a resource standpoint, we just don't have new steel in the ground. And even the plants that are on the planning horizon right now, they're not going to be built for the next 5 years. Right. So we're going to have to rely on the resources that we have. And again, in a growing state, right? So every year, it's going to get harder and harder to manage the amount of load that we can expect to see in a hot Texas summer. Now, I do think that ERCOT and the Public Utility Commission are having the right conversations about how do we create maximum flexibility in our system. You know, we've gone away from just building as excess generation capacity to the tune of 15 or 20% across the whole market and turning it on when you need it. That's not the way it works anymore. Now we're managing peaks. We're managing the end of the evening when solar comes down. You know, maybe you have some battery storage you can turn on. Maybe some commercial customers can go offline, give you some demand response. But it's going to take customer engagement at the highest levels to try to fill those gaps. Technology, as it comes along, will help, like storage capacity. That's right. A good thing for the market. But we're just going to be managing the grid differently. And I'll tell you another thing that we don't talk enough about is the transmission capacity that we need. We've typically been in the habit in Texas of when the constraint shows its head, then you build the transmission capacity. Right. Well, we're not keeping up with the amount of growth that we're seeing in Texas. So right now, the amount of wind that's coming out of South Texas has created a constraint right here in San Antonio. And ERCOT has acknowledged that with the Public Utility Commission over the last couple of weeks. We've got a line that we're building, about a 60-mile line down to a San Miguel plant, you know, in South Texas that will help get some of that wind up to North Texas. But that's a three-year process. We don't expect that to come online until 2027. So if you look at just the challenge we've got with building new resources and the amount of transmission we have to build, you know, which in a private property state like Texas, it's not easy, to tell a ranch owner that you're coming through their land to build a transmission line that they don't want there. So that's why the process is so deliberate. But we've got both of those challenges that are, you know, that we're just going to have to work really hard on over the next few years to maintain reliability.
Without a doubt. And it's important for business owners and consumers of all kinds to be thinking about conservation as part of this program. You cannot sort of just expect the utility companies and ERCOT to fix this, if you will, and make it so that you can just use whatever resources you want whenever you want. I had a lovely conversation with the folks at the Bandera Co-op a couple of months ago, and they were talking about, we're just trying to figure out ways to help make customers aware of their usage, right? And that, and one of the analogies that they were saying is like, we want to put the calories on the Big Mac menu. You know, we want our customers to really see what they're consuming. I think that's a really important element too, is just reminding people over and over again that they also have an active and participatory role in this as well. You know, we see businesses doing solar installs all over the place and taking up large roofs that are helping contribute. But conservation, really, there's no shorter cut. Like, that is the way that we really all can work on this together, I assume.
Yeah, I'm spending a lot of time when people ask me to speak places talking about how our view of the customer is going to have to change as an industry. You know, I mean, if you take a solar installation with a battery installation and you parlay that maybe with a gas generator to back that up, in theory, for customers willing to take on that risk, you got customers who could disconnect from our system today. Right. We have to stay relevant. You know, in the past, we would fight solar, rooftop solar, for instance, because we didn't want customers to not be bringing revenue into the utility, even though they're connected to our system. Right. Now, you know, you have to really look at that capacity as a relief valve, right? If you don't have to serve that customer with limited generation resources, they can serve themselves. You can maximize it, the use of those resources to serve the growth that's happening across your community. And we haven't even got into the issue of large loads like data centers.
Right.
You know, data centers really are outside of the, you know, we're growing about 150 megawatts a year, which is about 30,000 new customers for us, excluding the data center load. Now, data centers are great. We all have cell phones. We all utilize, you know, AI and smart technology. Well, right. All of that is backed up by a huge data center somewhere that's enabling that technology. So we're going to have to be open-minded about every megawatt of generation you can get on the system, whether it's right. customer generated or utility generated or batteries or something else that can give you some support, because right. I mean, it's going to take every button you have to push, you know, to get, and I'm not trying to be alarmist. We will manage the challenge that's ahead of us, but it's certainly not as simple as it used to be in maintaining reliability.
Rudy Garza joining us. Next, he shares why the Alamo City is different when Texas Business Minds continues.
At Texas Mutual, a workers' comp insurance provider, we're committed to building a better Texas. We've contributed over $4 billion through dividends and community giving to help strengthen the state's economy and support working Texans. Learn more at texasmutual.com/better. Dividends are based on performance and are not guaranteed.
San Antonio is becoming a place that's very hot for data centers. That's, I mean, we're seeing those come in. Microsoft is building out their facility. We've got CyrusOne in town. They're just, it's becoming a very significant part of the business community is our data center footprint here. And another thing that's probably likely to come to our region, if not necessarily specifically to us, although we do have one, but semiconductor manufacturing, right? We see so much of it up in Austin. I will not be surprised if there's continued push for, and that is a heavy resource business. You cannot do that without a lot of resources. So there's a lot of pressure on you all from the business community as well. But as you guys have done it, CPS has handled it so beautifully so far. So I have a lot of faith in you guys. So
just give a shout out real quick to our customers in San Antonio. Yeah. Our customers are as engaged as a population of energy stakeholders as any customers in Texas. We get more demand response per capita here in San Antonio, you know, than you get other places in the ERCOT market. And as a result of that, the work that the Public Utility Commission up in Austin is doing on energy efficiency and demand response, they're asking us a lot of questions about why our programs are so successful, because we've got almost 170,000-ish customers that have smart thermostats on their home. That's huge. And it's going to take that kind of customer engagement to be able to create capacity. You know, when you can push a button and all of a sudden you get relief on your system, that's huge in terms of, again, it's not the entirety of the summer day. We're talking about a couple of hours in the evening when the sun's gone down, customers maybe not need to run their air condition, you know, so hard they can back off a couple of degrees and give us the flexibility we need to manage through it. Well, the whole state of Texas, I think, is behind in that regard. In the competitive areas of the state, where the market is open for electric competition, there's just not the same incentive for energy efficiency as we have in San Antonio. And that's got to change.
Yeah, conservation needs to be, it can't be dictated down. It has to be from the customer up if it's going to be the most effective. And yeah, that's why you guys have had success with it here. You know, I'm one of those customers with a smart thermostat that lets you guys fiddle at peak hours. It's an important thing to help make our community work together. San Antonians are very good about that, is my experience. Absolutely. One of the challenges that you had that you've recently overcome in the last few months was there was, you know, with all the pressure of construction in our community, there was a shortage on transformers. And I know you were wrestling that bear for a full year, but you finally got it pinned down a couple of weeks to months ago. And I was just curious, you know, how did you guys, you know, what were all of the, there were so many different things that you all were trying to do to fill all the need and all the demand for transformers for all the construction. What did it take to actually get caught up to that?
Well, it took a whole lot of creativity, flexibility, and maybe a Sunday prayer or two, you know, on my part, to the big guy to try to help us get past, you know, that situation. But, you know, it persisted for a good year and a half or so on the residential side. Our, you know, kind of our bread and butter residential transformers, you know, everybody was experiencing them. And it was really just amorphous steel that's used to build the box that the transformer sits in. There's like one of them in the United States. So all utilities were struggling with this. I literally sent our supply chain, you know, team all over the globe trying to find any supply reference that we would get. And so we were used to buying transformers from one vendor or maybe two vendors. Well, now we've got like 9 or 10 vendors that we buy transformers from, which requires you to relax your standards a bit. if you know, if it's on the commercial side, we're still struggling a little bit with some of the really larger transformers, mm-hmm. but even that's gotten a little bit better. But on the commercial side, we had to allow customers to be able to source their own transformers. There's transformers that you pull off of old buildings that can be refurbished. There's a business here in San Antonio called Alamo Transformers that does those transformer refurbishments. We would never allow a refurbished transformer to be sourced by our customer and utilized for their project. But we changed our mindset on that. And because of that, it alleviated some of the pressure that customers were feeling. So again, and we still have, you know, we still have issues with meters from time to time or conduit or certain types of material we need to build our system, but we've come a long way, and it's taken us just getting out of the mindset that there's only one way to skin a cat, right? I mean, we had to really just open the doors and try to be as open-minded about how we solve the problem as we could. And it also took this. The builders were partners in that. They were patient. You know, we were giving them as much information as we could, and they were trying to figure out, okay, how do I phase my projects in to take advantage of the transformers that are available. So maybe instead of doing 200 lots all at once, they might do 50 lots, you know, at a time until they get it all done. Well, that's not efficient on their part, but they recognized we were trying, and it took, again, partnership with our customers, which is what I love about our approach. You know, we always want customers and our community to inform our decision-making, you know, and how we're providing service to our community.
It was such a pernicious problem across the country that it was just, I kept thinking about you guys and other, you know, builders and other power companies just attacking every hidden warehouse that had any transformers in them and trying to get them as quick as possible. It really was a big, big challenge, but it's been several months since we've heard from a developer or a builder who said that he's, you know, not gotten himself what he needs. So it's been a big, big turnaround and a good testament to your team there for sure.
Well, and you would think that issue would slow down development in San Antonio. Blowing and going, man.
Nope, it's no problem.
The growth continues, even with those supply chain challenges, which I just think speaks to the opportunity that our community has ahead of it. You know, people want to be here because the cost of living is great. You know, I mean, I'll still put our restaurants and our retail centers up against any community in the country, because I just think we have that much to offer. And, you know, companies are taking notice and the growth is coming. You know, we haven't seen it slow down by any major amount for the last, you know, I don't know, at least 5 years. You know, we thought the pandemic would slow us down. Pandemic didn't slow us down.
Sped us up. Right. And I feel like we're in safe hands. All that growth, and all we've got to do is count on you and your team to get us all the power that we need. So I feel safe and sound. I'm sure that it's just, I'm certain that you guys have got it well.
You know what? It takes 3,500 hardworking CPS Energy team members to make it happen. You know, it ain't about anything I'm doing. I'm, you know, my biggest job is to try to not mess it up. You know, listen to the community. But my leadership team is as great of a leadership team as any you will find in our industry. And our line workers and our gas employees and the people, you know, generating power at our power plants, they care about the work that they do. And it's because they care about the community that, you know, that I think we're so good. We're one of the best utilities in the country, and we're proud of that. And it's the reason why businesses are coming to San Antonio, because we're reliable. And relative to other markets, we're pretty affordable. And that's a really good combination.
That's right. Well, Rudy, as always, it is wonderful for you to take the time to chat with me. It is always a pleasure to chat with you. Thanks again for being with us and for joining us today and filling in our listeners on what's going on.
Well, we appreciate everything the Business Journal does here in San Antonio, Ed. And again, call on us anytime. We look forward to future conversations.
Thank you for downloading Texas Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Texas. Brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas.